Well, I think that very soon I'll be finishing with the reconstruction of your way of thinking. I'm working on a sermon series. I've got 3 of them started, and one of them is more than halfway, about dreams. And I'm excited about it. Amen. Hopefully the boss will let me start it next Sunday. If not, we're going to go with the program, because I already have 2 sermons that are already done on shame and guilt is one of them. And I have another one that is not fully done yet, so I want to wait a little bit, which would be anger. The different levels of anger and how it can cause you to be sick. Nevertheless, today I want to go once again on the title that we've been talking for the last 2.5 months, Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. It's the restructuring of our thinking. The Church of the Living God has been so frail, so sick on its way of thinking, that sometimes it's heartbreaking. When we hear the people of God speaking out some statements that it's ludicrous. Yesterday morning we dealt with the statement, "I just can't hold it all together," which is ridiculous. And they gave the people present here enough reason to change their way of thinking. Recently, we had somebody coming to attend one of our services. And the person asked to be counseled. I asked, "Are you saved?" "Oh, yes." "Do you attend a church?" "Yes." "Then I can't do that." "Excuse me? You are robbing your leader from the blessing and the opportunity to get to know you by asking me to do so." "No, they don't believe, they don't believe like you do." Said, "So what are you doing there then?" So after a lot of pressure, said, "Any time that I will talk to anybody that's not a member of our fellowship will be 1 visit and that's it. You will have 45 minutes, and that's it. Now, once you start attending regularly, then I will sit down with you. We'll get one of the elders that can sit down with you." And this poor soul, after pouring down a river of nonsense, made a statement that came out several times in the conversation. And the statement was, "My life is not good as yours." What? "My life is not as good as yours." So it's easy for you to talk. Right away, the Spirit gave me the understanding that the person in focus suffered from a disease called the spirit of inferiority. Tonight, I want to address you guys on this topic and show you different venues to change our way of thinking. When we open our lips and say, "My life is not as good as yours," shows a victim mentality. But you're not a victim, you are a victor. The Bible says that you are more than overcomer, more than conqueror. So you are a victor, not a victim. Too many times in life, people battle these thoughts of inferiority. And many, many, many in the body of Christ are still suffering from this. Many of them will say, "I am not as well off as other people in church." They will also say, I know some unbelievers that are doing better than I am. Have you ever heard that? Some will say, especially the ladies, I'm not as pretty as Sister Mavis. Others will say, well, I tried, but I am not as successful as my brother. Somebody once said to me recently, you know, preacher, my life is not as easy or fun as every other member of my family. And then the most outrageous statement that I heard in the last 2 years was this one. Things always work out better for other people than for me. Have we ever heard that? Am I the only one hearing this? These type of thoughts will harm the person who possesses it and lead them to a major pity party and eventually lead them to a life of depression. This is the very core of depression. It will cause people to feel that they can never measure up to others. And therefore, they will live below their potential and God's expectations. This is deadly. It's a deadly way of thinking that we want to change today. And I want to start by saying, what if the very same person you think are better off than you may look at you and think the exact way? Are you with me here? You have no idea what goes on in the minds of other people. But I think that the most important thing is, you and I have the life of God gave us. And nobody, I want you to hear me carefully here, nobody can be better at that life than you. God gave you a life. God gave me a life. You can never live my life as good as I will. I can never live your life as good as you will. You will be the better person at it if you embrace the thought that you are not a victim, you are a victor. It may have happened that you may not have all the opportunities that some other people have, but don't sit on your butt and expect opportunity to fall from heaven. It does not work. What you're saying? Ask you God for wisdom and go grab it.
Amen.
So tonight, I want to give you a few steps to change this kind of way of thinking. My life is not good as yours. That's nonsense. And for those of you who get offended real quick, I'm sorry if I offended you, Philip, but still nonsense. Okay, preacher, how do I change this way of thinking? Number one. Give up the temptation to compare yourself to other people.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Give up the temptation to compare yourself to other people. Nobody can be better at being you than you.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:12 that when I am comparing myself to other people, it's kind of stupid. Society train us to compare ourselves to one another. But this is society, not God. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says that when we do this, we are without understanding. So, forgive my French, when I compare myself to other people, I'm dumb. Now, the Bible put it politely, without understanding. Watch this. Let's read it. For we dare not to class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Let's stop right here. I love the way that Paul put this. We do not dare to class ourselves. Do you know what he means? Put me in the same level of that person, the same classification. I don't think I'm better than any of you here at all, never did. If we would have to class, I think you're better than I am. But one thing you cannot take from me, I'm nuts about my God. We do not dare to class ourselves, put ourselves on the same level, try to compare ourselves with people that commend themselves. He goes on to say, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So what you're saying, stop the temptation to try to compare yourself with other people. God gave you a distinct personality, a distinct look. So you are gorgeous the way that you are. Somebody just asked me, like last year, would you like to have blue eyes? I said, why? I'm just asking. Never thought about it. What? Never thought about it. Really? I said, no, I'm gorgeous. You're full of it. What do you mean? I think I'm gorgeous. You may not agree, and that's a right you have. But why? That makes no sense. Well, you know, they say, people with blue eyes looks better. Well, blue eyes look good in some people, not in others. I will not class myself or compare myself with anybody because God made this man this way. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, you have fearfully and wonderfully created me. So I am gorgeous. Whether you agree or not, so I will fight the temptation to compare myself to other people. Because when we try to compare ourselves with someone else, it is not wise. Amen. Some of us may have to ask for wisdom from God. Now, let me have the backslide translation here, Brother Harry, real quick. We're not understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they are our superiors. What about that? I'm not putting myself in the same league of those fellas that pretend to be our superiors. We wouldn't dare to do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. Amen. Don't miss the point, beloved. You look good the way you look. You are perfect. You are gorgeous. You are smart. You may be lazy-minded, but there's medicine to that. No, seriously, some people are lazy-minded. They are lazy even to think. And then they compare themselves to other people that they think they are smart. They're not smart. You are lazy. Here's a proof. You ask somebody, how much is 6 times 6? Hold on. Where's my phone? What do you mean, where's my phone? Well, I just can't put What do you mean, where is my phone? What is if your battery is dead and you had a fortune that would depend on that? And your telephone is dead, you're going to lose your fortune? No. So what do you mean to do? Well, if you don't know how much 6 times 6 is, then just do the simple way. 6 plus 6 is 12. You know that? Yes. So you add another 6, that's 3, and then you go 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So 6 times 3 is 18. So you already have 3. You add another 6. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Then you add another 6, you're in the 5th. That's taking too long. You lazy. Folks, stop trying. The temptation to try to compare yourself with other people, it's not wise. And when we do this, we miss the point. And then we miss the point, eventually we become depressed. And then we will have ridiculous statements like, my life is not, as good as yours. Are we together?
Yes.
Maybe you should go with Proverbs 3, 13 through 19 on the Message Bible. Watch this. Proverbs 3 is starting on verse 13 on the Message Bible. Let's start reading. You're blessed when you meet Lady Wisdom, when you make friends with Madame Insight. Your blessings are going to start coming right away. Make friendship with Wisdom and Madame Insight. As soon as you do it, blessings start coming.
Amen.
Verse 14. She is worth far more than money in the bank. Her friendship is better than a big salary. You with me so far, right? Verse 15. Her value exceeds all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. Nothing you wish. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. 16. With one hand, she gives long life. She confers recognition. 16. Her manner is beautiful. Her life... 18. She is the very tree of life to those who embrace her. Hold her tight and be blessed. One more verse. With laid wisdom, with Madame Insight, be wise. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Flee from that trap. You are much, 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 much more smarter than the people that you're trying to compare yourself to. Stop looking at someone else's money or figure, you know, how they look like. Stop looking at your neighbor's marriage or their children. Get out of the pity party. I'm not in a pity party. Have you ever said, she's a better mom than I am? Then you're in the pity party. He's a better dad than I am. You know, here's the biggest downfall of comparing yourself to others. When you start comparing yourself to others, you will despair. You will despair. Why? If the person decides to have a different haircut, and you can't cut your hair like the person you compare yourself, you got it? Stop the temptation of comparing yourself to other people. Number two. Keep in mind that God has reserved a special gift for you. Are you with me here? If you take a drawing board and a chalk or something and put in front of me and say, can you draw something? It's going to be like a donkey looking at the church. It don't make no difference. I can draw for the life of me. I just can't draw. When I was in school and I was asked to draw, somehow I learned to make an airplane. A propeller airplane. So every time we had an assignment, I draw the airplane. I drew the airplane. Teacher said, it's time for you to change. I don't know how to do anything. Try. So I tried and tried. I'll go back to the airplane. So she was kind enough not to fail me on this. But you know what? God had a special gift for us. In this case, for me. God gave us the ability to learn languages without having to go to school. I consider that a special gift. Therefore, we refuse to compare ourselves to other people. And I will always keep in mind that God has reserved a special gift for each one of us. There is a portion for you that no one can take. Let's go to 1 Samuel 9, 23 and 24. Read it with me. Then Samuel directed the chef, bring the choice cut. I pointed out to you, the one I told you to reserve. The chef brought it and placed it before Saul with a flourish, saying, this meal was kept aside just for you. Eat it. It was especially prepared for this time and occasion with these guests. Saul ate with Samuel a memorable day. So what you're saying, preacher? This meal was kept aside just for you. So what you're saying? Keep in mind God has a special portion set aside just for you. There is a life and an assignment reserved just for you. The reality is that many of us today are trying to have competing gifts. The Bible says that we have different gifts, not competing gifts. Did you hear what I said? So you may not be able to speak several languages, but you may be able to have the gift of counseling. You may be able to have the gift of hearing. You may be able to have the gift of giving. You may be able to have the gift of witnessing, the gift of praying, the gift of fasting. Be happy with the gifts and the life that the Lord has given you. Romans 12:6 says the following. In His grace, God has given us
different gifts
for doing
certain things well.
So,
if God has given you the ability to prophesy, you can help you with such things God has given you.
Did you get a point?
Yes.
It's no use to compare. Just keep in mind, God has a special gift for you. And whatever it is, do it with all your might. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Now, I'm going to say something here that I might step in somebody's foot, but I want you to listen before you cuss the preacher out. Live your life to please God, not other people.
Amen.
This is one of the greatest downfalls in our society. We are not living to please other people. We should be living a life to please God. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says the following. So, whether we are here
or away from this body.
Our goal is make the goal of your life to please God and not people. May I have the King James Version? Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we are looking for acceptance, not from mankind. We're looking for that in God. Now, brother, may I have the backslider translation? Be neither exile nor homecoming is the main thing. But neither the exile nor homecoming is the main thing. Cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do, regardless of our conditions. Did you get that? So what you're saying, preacher? When we are busy living to please God, we have no time to be focusing on what other people are experiencing or the gifts that other people possess or even how can we stack up against somebody else. Our goal is to make God happy, is to please God. So let's stop living trying to earn the respect and esteem of other people. We want to please God.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. God is not looking at how we compare ourselves to other people. Did you know that? He is rather looking at whether you and I want and will believe in Him, trust in His word, and honor Him with all our hearts. This is what God is looking for. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says the following. Let's read it. So, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things. Isn't that something? So instead of pursuing pleasing other people, we're going to pursue the things over which Christ presides. So instead of living trying to please other people, we're going to live to please God. So if you're serious about this new life, act like it. Verse 2. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, observed with the things right in front of you. No. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. So our goal in life should be pleasing God, looking at things the way that Jesus looks. So in other words, what you're saying, preacher, what I'm saying is that we need to be heavenly minded. We need to look at things through God's eyes and have God's perspective. Let me go a little faster. Number 4, this thing will help you a lot. Whenever you see a promise in God's word, personalize it. Huh? Yeah, you read in your Bible and you see a promise, one of God's promises in the Bible, just put your name in it. Learn to accept the fact that God has allowed these promises to be written and it is directly for you. What are you trying to say? May I have Luke 12:32, Brother Harry? Watch this. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights you to give you the kingdom. So how do I personalize? Here's how you personalize. Don't be afraid, Paul Santos, because your daddy, which lives in heaven, delights himself to give you the kingdom. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Personalize the promise. Instead of comparing yourself to somebody else, instead of trying to live to please other people, no. See a promise? Personalize. You start feeling a little goofy, seems like you're going to catch a cold, you just shut out. Because my Father in heaven has given charge to his angels on my behalf. No plague shall come near my dwelling.
Amen. Amen.
You personalizing the promise. No evil shall come near my home. Are we still together?
Yes.
Number 5. Stop thinking backwards. What do you mean, stop thinking backwards? Stop thinking at what you don't have. Huh? That's thinking backward. Why would you be thinking about things that you don't have? You have a good Father. Jesus said, if you that are evil people know how to give good gifts to your kids, much more your Heavenly Father. So if you don't have it yet, stop thinking about the things that you don't have. So what do you mean to do? Today, start looking at what the Lord has given you, what He has blessed you with. And enjoy what God has given to you. You know, it's thinking backwards. I like speed. I like speed, and there's some machine that I hope one day I will have one in my life. But why am I going to think about the things that I don't have? Crawford Dollar just bought a $60 million jet. Gorgeous. Oh, my Lord. It's a house with wings. It's close to Donald Trump, 757. Would I like to have one like those? Absolutely. But you know what? I'm not going to be thinking about this. Why? I can't afford to maintain it. So I'm going to rejoice in my little 4 seats as much as I can. Just waiting for the weather to clear. I'm going to go back up and have some fun with my 4 seats. Stop thinking backwards. Stop thinking about the stuff that you don't have. And start looking at what you have, what God has blessed you with. You may say, well, preacher, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. Just to think about a lot of those folks down in North Avenue and other places in town that don't have eternal life, and if their heart stops beating, is a one-ticket trip. The game is over. They will never see the light of the day again. They will never see somebody, the people that they love. They will never see God. So you've got something. You've got eternal life. You are a son and a daughter of God. Therefore, you're royal. I don't feel royal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If a chicken wakes up in the morning not feeling like a chicken, it will not make it an eagle. It will still be a chicken. You are part of a spiritual family. So you've got something. You are part of a royal family. And I will say this as long as I have to. You are royal.
Yes, we are.
You may never accept this. You may never agree with me. That's quite all right. It's a shame, but it's quite all right. You have the right to think the way you want. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Read it with me. But you're not like that, for you are a chosen people, royal priests, holy nation. As a result, you see how much stuff you got? There's no need to compare yourself to anybody else. The problem that many of us are royal and we are acting like low-class citizens, comparing ourselves to other people. Oh, preacher, you know, my life is not as good as you are. What a lousy statement. My life is good, will remain good until the day he takes me home. And so is yours. None of the preachers that has come here is better than us. Some of them even are actually learning with us. But there's none better than us. Why? Each one of us have our own gifts. And we don't dare to compare ourselves. I just got a book from one of the big names that come in here. It's the pre-read edition. A copy was sent to me to read the book and give some suggestions. It hasn't been published yet. It will be, will go to the press by the end of the month. So I'm supposed to read and send a report if there's something that should be added to it. So what you're saying? I'm not a big shot, just a man of God, and happy to be who I am. You are a royal priesthood. You know what? Let's have the backslide translation, Brother Harry. Make it easy for everybody to understand. I want you to read this with me, 9 and 10. But you are the ones chosen by God. That's huge. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. So you have the power to intercede, to put a word on behalf of somebody in heaven. You are chosen to be a holy people, God's instrument to do His work. Tell your neighbor, you are called to speak out for God.
You are called to speak out for God.
Listen to verse 10. It gets better. From nothing to something.
Yes,
special people, you're not only special, you're good looking too.
Amen.
You are my flock.
Amen.
Say it with me. I want you to say this with me. All of God's promises,
all of God's promises
are personally mine.
Are personally mine.
I'll take it. Say with me, I have a great life.
Because
God is my Father.
And He has chosen gladly
to give me His kingdom.
To give me a good life.
To spoil me with blessings. Say with me, there is a portion,
and
a place in God's kingdom,
and
in this world,
that has been reserved
just for me.
I am secure.
I have a special gift.
I have a special
treasure. That God has prepared,
especially for me.
I will not compare myself to others,
because I am the best that I could be.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.